Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And joining us right now, a Barstool. He's also got a very popular podcast, and that is Jared Karabas. How are you again, sir?
What's going on? Actually, it's last time I didn't correct you. I was like, all right, we'll do it. But it's Karabas, like the restaurant.
Is that true?
Karabas.
Oh, you should have corrected me right away. I've been calling you by the wrong name forever.
I was a first timer last time, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm a guest here. I'll take the rookie hazing. But now that I'm back, this is time number two. It's Karabas.
It's Karabas. I got to admit, I think I kind of like Karabas better.
Yeah, well, like my boss calls me that. So I get to hear it all the time. Yeah.
Karabas, is that correct?
Yeah.
Karabas.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, be honest with me. How confident are you, and you could use a percentage, that the Red Sox are going to hold on and win the American League East?
Oh, probably about 90%.
90%. That high?
But, I mean, it's a completely different question if you were to ask me what's your confidence in the Red Sox beating the Yankees in a 7-game series. That's a completely different question. Holding on to the division, I think, is a much easier task than dismissing the Yankees in a 7-game series.
No, I get that. We're a 5-game series for that matter, because right now, the way the Astros are playing, it may lead to a 5-game series.
True. Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah, a 5-game series is kind of scary because, you know, anything can happen in a 5-game series. But the other thing, too, here is, so I've sort of been, you know, on that take for a while about, you know, the Red Sox have been the best team in baseball pretty much the entire year. But when you're talking about a 5-game series against the Yankees, for a long time you were factoring, you know, facing Luis Severino twice.
Right.
And now that doesn't really seem like that big of an issue the way that he's been going pretty much since the last time that he faced the Red Sox. He's been, I think he's given up, what, like 15 earned runs in his last 13 innings or something crazy like that.
Yes, yes.
So I think regardless, you know, even if Severino's going bad, as long as there's not an injury, he's still scary regardless.
The thing about that, though, is, and let's see what he does against the Red Sox this week, because I think if he puts together another bad start, there's going to be more worry. But take a look at a guy like Chris Sale, who could win the Cy Young. The guy's had a brilliant year. He's got an ERA right around 2. He's been amazing. But you know about his struggles late in seasons, his struggles last year in the postseason. I know they've done a careful job of trying to keep his innings down, but until he does it, isn't there a part of you that'd be a little bit worried about Chris Sale in that big moment come September and then October?
Not necessarily, no, because they've actually done a really good job of limiting his innings and his pitches. So I think he's through like 21 or 22 starts at this point. And if you compare it to his first 21 or 22 starts last year, he's about two starts worth of innings less. And he's about 200 pitches less than where he was last year. So they've done a good job at sort of letting him fly, let him do his thing, but at the same time, they're not stretching him out because they don't have to.
Right.
So they've it's a noticeable change in the amount of innings that he's thrown so far and the amount of pitches that he's thrown so far. But right now, right about now, is where he sort of fades.
Right.
So it's something to keep an eye on, but you know, if you look further into the numbers, he's thrown significantly fewer pitches.
Now, here's the thing, and I watch a lot of the Red Sox. I'm certainly not going to watch as much as you, but I always try to put them on when I can. Like last night, I watched them. And it's not that the Red Sox aren't that good. The Red Sox are very good. I don't mean any disrespect. I say this with peace and love. But is this really a 110-win team? I mean, seriously, when you look at the rotation after Sale, when you look at the lack of production behind the plate, Eduardo Nunez hasn't had a great year. Jackie Bradley makes great plays every once in a while. Guys at 213. You know, Devers wasn't having the greatest year in the world till he got hurt. The bullpen as a whole. Like, seriously, are they really a 110-win team in your mind?
Oh, I think it's more of a reflection of the competition in baseball right now than it is of how good the Red Sox are. I mean, the Red Sox are a very good team. I mean,
sure.
This team this year, against last year's competition, probably still wins 100 games. I mean, they're that good. But are they most wins in franchise history good? Yeah, I think that's more of a reflection of the competition. There are a lot of bad teams in Major League Baseball right now, but the difference between the Red Sox and the Yankees so far this year has been that the Red Sox are beating those bad teams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Yankees are not beating those bad teams. So it depends on how you want to look at it. The Yankees have performed really well against teams that are potential playoff teams, above 500 teams. The Red Sox have done pretty well themselves, too. Like last night, you know, that's a first-place Phillies team.
Yeah.
They're going up against Aaron Nola, who's probably going to finish top three in the Cy Young Award this year. Not that they beat Nola, but they hung in there, and they got a win against a really good Phillies team. So, you know, if the Red Sox end up on their pace of winning 112 games, then you're talking about, statistically, the winningest team in Red Sox history. But I think, you know, we'll as you sort of look back over time, people, you don't talk about the competition that they played against. They'll still go down as one of the greatest Red Sox teams of all time if they win the most games in franchise history. But here in the now, yeah, we can talk about the competition that they've faced and that the Yankees have also had the same opportunity to play these bad teams.
No, and you nailed it, the difference in this division right now. The difference in the division is that the Yankees are mediocre against the Orioles. They've been good against the Blue Jays, just not quite as good as the Red Sox, and they've been average against the Rays. They're 19-15 against those three teams. The Red Sox are 29-9. There's your difference. There's your division right there.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. I mean, the Yankees have not played well against teams like Baltimore. Yep. They had trouble with the Marlins. They had trouble with the Rays, with the Royals. So, yeah, I mean, it's but they've also had their injuries. But the Red Sox have had their injuries, too. No one likes to, you know, make any excuses for a team that has the best record in baseball. But at one point, you know, they had 4 out of 5 starters on the disabled list. Eduardo Rodriguez was on the disabled list. Stephen Wright on the disabled list. Brian Johnson was on the disabled list. David Price had his carpal tunnel injury that he had. Dustin Pedroia has played 3 games all year. That's a Gold Glove All-Star second baseman. Rafael Devers has been on the disabled list twice just this month alone. So, and Mookie Betts has spent time on the disabled list. Xander Bogaerts has been on the disabled list. If you go down the line, and the Red Sox have been able to endure their injuries while also just beating those bad teams. Like, that has been the key for them, is beating the bad teams, because a win against the Orioles and the Royals counts just as much as a win against the Yankees.
That's what you got to do. The 98 Yankees made it in our form. That's how they got to 114 wins, no doubt. We're talking to Jared Carrabas. Carrabas?
Carrabas.
Carrabas. I still like Carrabas, but I get it. I have respect for you. He's, of course, from Barstool. This is a joke to me. David Price is a freaking joke against the Yankees. What he did a few weeks ago now on that Sunday night at Yankee Stadium was sheer embarrassment. And I know, I watch David Price every 5 days. He's on my fantasy team. I loved him last night. He bounces back after giving up those back-to-back doubles. They let him get the big out against Drubal Cabrera in the 8th inning. Dude, the guy's a good pitcher. But when he faces the Yankees, he melts down. Should Alex Cora even pitch him Sunday night against the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, not to brag, but if we get to Sunday, there's a legitimate chance that the Red Sox might be 9 games up in the division. So I don't think throwing David Price against the Yankees on Sunday is make or break. And it's not like you know that the Red Sox and Yankees are on a collision course for this October.
Okay.
So you're not going to want to hide David Price, because if you line up the postseason rotation for the Red Sox, Price factors in there. He's going to have to face the Yankees at one point or another.
Let me ask you a serious question. It's a best-of-5 series. I understand the year he's had. I'm telling you, David Price is a good pitcher. I get it. How can you possibly start him against the Yankees in a playoff game? Seriously, how could you?
Well, let's talk about that after this next start, because what if David Price, last year, so I think that most of this sort of Price getting rattled thing it's a Yankee Stadium thing. And it's definitely, you know, he psychs himself out 1,000%. He psychs himself out. He gets in his own head. That's what that last start was. But last year at Fenway Park, 8 shutout innings against those Yankees. So it's not like he never gets the job done. This year has been a glaring issue. I know that he's had problems in the past, even when he was with Tampa with the Yankees. But it's not like he never performs well against them. So if he goes out there on Sunday, and I'll even take 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 earned runs, something like that. Give me something to build off of, to where we can sort of move past or maneuver around this narrative that he just can't pitch against the Yankees no matter what, and then having the discussion about, oh, in a best of five, do you even pitch him at all? Do you go Eovaldi and Porcello and whoever else? Like that, that's a conversation that I think we can't even have until we see him one more time at Fenway Park against the Yankees.
Now, I give you this. I mean, his struck, because if you look at the last 3 years against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, he's 0-5 with an ERA of, I mean, well over 9. It's really, really, really
bad.
Yeah. His numbers at Fenway, I'd have to look closer at it. Is it really overall? Like, how many starts has he made against the Yankees at Fenway in the last 2 years?
His ERA against the Yankees at Fenway is lower, but it's still not good.
Okay.
I still think it's like in the fives or something like that, and that's obviously with the 8 shutout innings. So, it's got to be – I want to see him one more time at Fenway Park, but then you know what's going to happen is if he pitches well, the narrative now becomes, well, Judge wasn't there and Sanchez wasn't there. So when those guys come back for October, we very well might be still having this conversation about, you know, do you even pitch him? Because when he beat him at Fenway Park at the beginning of August, he didn't really face the real Yankees that he's going to be facing in October.
Forget about the narrative. Forget what Yankee fans say. I'm going to ask you, let's say David Price on Sunday night goes 6 innings, 2 runs, okay? Just 6 innings, 2 runs. 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, and just a very okay outing. Would you now have confidence to start him against the Yankees in a postseason game, even at Fenway? How would you feel about it?
I don't think anyone is ever going to have confidence because, you know, you look at what he did going into that last start at Yankee Stadium. I think it was like 9 starts, had an ERA in the low 2s. Like, he was mowing down everybody. And since that last start against the Yankees, he's got like an ERA of like 1.71 over his last 3 starts.
Yeah.
So it's and I wrote about this today on Barstool. The comparison that I made was that his non-Yankee starts are like training sessions, and his starts against the Yankees, that's the pay-per-view fight. And every time he can look as good as he wants to in the training sessions, but he gets knocked out cold in the pay-per-view fight. So if David Price goes in there and has a half-season start against the Yankee lineup that doesn't have Judge, that doesn't have Sanchez, that to me still is like, all right, but that's not the lineup that you're going to face in October. So it doesn't tell me something necessarily about what can we look forward to. Like, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Because I think he's more scared of the laundry than he is of the names in the lineup. I think he just psyched himself up because of the media attention in New York, the media attention in Boston. Everyone's talking to him about the big bad Yankees and your postseason history, and can you beat the Yankees? It doesn't matter if you beat everyone else, you have to beat the Yankees. And that was what he was asked about at his press conference, was those two things. So it's definitely in his head, but I think after that last start, where he basically got embarrassed in front of the world, 8 earned runs, 5 home runs, undoubtedly the worst start of his major league career. Do you hit a wall? Do you finally get to a place where it's like, well, I've got nothing to lose. I can't possibly look worse. So you don't psych yourself out about that. And I also wonder, you know, talking games back-wise, division lead-wise, does that help? You know, the fact that this isn't make or break. If I lose this game tonight, now we're tied for the division going into the month of August. So there's a little breathing room in the division help. I think that these are all factors.
Yeah, and look, one of the guys that's really owned him is Gary Sanchez. And obviously he's not going to be in the lineup Sunday, as you were alluding to. We're talking to Jared Karibas from Barstool. What'd you think of the Kinsler deal? You think he can help this team out? I know he's been hot for the last few weeks, but obviously he hasn't been great the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's been red hot all month. You know, I think anything is an upgrade over Eduardo Nunez. He's been terrible defensively. I mean, he's been hitting. You don't win that game last night against Nola without Eduardo Nunez. He had a game-tying triple in the 5th inning last night, and then his base hit to lead off the bottom of the 13th. He was the game-winning run in the 13th when Swihart walked it off. So offensively, no complaints. Defensively, he's been a disaster. So Kinsler, you get an everyday second baseman that can play the position, and he can swing it a little bit. I think he's hitting like 359 with a 9-something OPS since the July 6th or something like that. So he's been heating up offensively, and I think that going from a mediocre situation with the Angels and then entering a situation here with the Red Sox where you're now on the best team in baseball, the guy's a gamer. I mean, David Price last night compared him. He said he's the closest to Dustin Pedroia that you're going to get. that he's played with. So I think that that's, you know, not that the Red Sox need a spark right now. I mean, they can't stop losing. So not that they need the spark, but, you know, you add Ian Kinsler here, you finally get a second baseman because, as much as I hate to say it, Pedroia has played three games this year. They expected him back in May, played the three games, and we haven't seen him since. And even if he is healthy enough to return, you cannot possibly depend on him to be an everyday player. You just can't. So the move was necessary. It felt like they were going to go get Brian Dozier, but they end up with Kinsler, and I'm happy either way.
So what happens now with third with Devers at? Is Nunez going to play a lot of third base for the time being?
Yeah, I don't think that they expect the Devers thing to be a lengthy DL stint, but obviously, you know, you get a hamstring injury. That's something that can pop up at any time. Once you aggravate it once, it's kind of just it's just there. So, yeah, this is something that you want to keep an eye on. I know that the Red Sox have been linked to Adrian Beltre, but, you know, all the reports over the last 24 hours have suggested that there's nothing too serious going on in terms of discussions.
Well,
aren't the
reports basically, Jerry, he doesn't want to play? He doesn't want to play for you. He doesn't want to go to Boston. He has no interest. Sorry. No thanks.
That's not true. He said that he would play for the Red Sox.
Oh, did he? I thought he was going to 10-5 it against anybody. I was just being a jerk, but I think.
No. He said he would play. He said he would waive his no trade for the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros.
Oh, so he would. Oh, okay. So my trolling didn't even work. I know that Adam Jones is basically going to not waive his 10-5 for anybody. He wants to stay in Baltimore. Hey, you got that power as a player. You can do whatever the hell you want.
He talked about, you know, he still has like friends and family in Baltimore and his charities in Baltimore, and he wants to play out the string there and kind of assess the situation after the season. But, yeah, I mean, if you're comfortable being 40-something games back, then all the more power to you.
Beltre would be a pretty good fit. The problem is, when Devers comes back, what does he become, a part-time player? You just wait till next year with him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you look at Devers, and he's, even when he was, you know, a 17-year-old prospect, he drew comparisons to Adrian Beltre, you know, a third baseman that carries a little bit of weight. He's got some pop. They project him to be this 30-home-run guy. But the defensive issues are something that has sort of followed him throughout his entire professional career. Then he gets to the big league level, far and away has the most errors on the team. And Adrian Beltre was the same way. When he came up with the Dodgers, he was a defensive mess for the first 2 years. And that's sort of what Alex Cora has been preaching to Devers. You know, like, look at Beltre, like, look at how he started out. Like, you can work at this and you can get better at this and you can turn yourself into a Gold Glove defender like Beltre. But that's coming from Alex Cora. So who better for that to come from than Beltre himself? So, I mean, I'm still not opposed to them bringing him in here because you're not expecting him to be an everyday player. I think he would be a great mentor for Devers if he came in. And obviously, with Devers having spent two stints on the disabled list just this month, it's an insurance policy as much as it is a mentorship.
We're talking to Jared Carrabas. You look at these new managers. They're running them out of town in D.C., Dave Martinez. He doesn't know what he's doing. We're running Mickey Callaway out of New York. And Boone takes heat. I mean, I don't think anyone's running him out of town, but he takes plenty of heat from Yankee fans. Does Alex Cora get any criticism up there, or is he basically a managing god right now?
Yeah, he's the man. He's got the keys to the city. I mean, I can really only think of one instance where there's been like I don't even want to call it a slip up. I think it was back in April. He either forgot or just it slipped his mind to bring Jackie Bradley in for like a defense replacement, and then no one even called him on it. He called himself on it at the press conference. He's just, hey, just letting you know, I should have brought in Bradley as a defensive replacement there in the eighth inning. Outside of that, there has been nothing. And Boston media is super negative. So they look for any reason to make a dig at a guy or criticize someone or come up with this, you know, false storyline to drum up interest and get the calls going. And there's nothing you can say about Alex Cora. There's nothing. All the players love him. And it's hard. How are you going to criticize a manager that's 42 games over .500 before the month of August? It's very difficult to come up with something. Obviously, there have been teams that have succeeded in spite of their manager, but I mean, everyone in that clubhouse loves Cora. He's you can just tell, you know, he's because he was one of those guys. He can relate because there's so many. When you don't have Dustin Pedroia, you have a bunch of utility guys out there. You have Nunez, you have Holt, you got the Zue Lins of the world. Like, he knows what these players are thinking. so he can relate to them on a level that guys like John Farrell last year just couldn't do.
Hey, with the way the Astros are playing, man, I mean, we are headed, if the Yankees or Red Sox win their wild card game, we're headed to a best of five in the divisional series, because it really looks like the Red Sox or Yankees, and obviously you think it's going to be the Red Sox at 90%, they're going to be the number one seed. So we're going to be looking at very, very, very possible at a best of five between these two teams. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to that because, you know, all the buildup, because you could smell the Red Sox-Yankees thing having this rebirth maybe 2 years ago, maybe around like 2016 when Cashman had that phenomenal trade deadline where he, you know, sells off Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller and he gets all these prospects and then Chapman comes back. And, you know, that was, for me, I don't know if it's recency bias, but I think that stretch right there was Cashman's defining moment as a general manager because, you know, that's a guy that always said, yeah, like, of course you can win a championship when you have Steinbrenner's checkbook. But he's more than just a guy that says, all right, we're going to spend X, Y, and Z, and then, you know, here comes a championship. That was when Cashman, for me, was like, okay, this guy has a brain. This guy is a very smart baseball executive. And he put the pieces together back in 2016 that while, you know, guys like Mookie Betts were coming up, guys like Xander Bogaerts were coming up, and, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez was coming over, and they were putting all these pieces together at the same time. So it's like, all right, when are they going to meet in the postseason again?
Yeah.
And now it's coming, and I was hoping for a best of seven because I think that that's what the fans who have waited since 2004 for a Red Sox-Yankees postseason series deserve. But if we get a best of five, we get a best of five.
Hey, it's been a long time since we had that in 2004. And look, there's pressure on everybody. Right? So I don't want to hear there's more pressure on this team, there's pressure on that. The Yankees are going to have pressure. They were at the seventh game of the ALCS last year, and they didn't win. But you guys, if you win 112 games – after back-to-back first-round exits, you can't lose in the first round. That'd be a disaster if you lost in the first round.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, of course, it's a disaster when, yeah, if any team doesn't win in the first round, you know, like the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox, yeah, it's a huge disappointment. But the Red Sox and Yankees, I mean, like the Yankees have played the Red Sox tough all year. The Yankees
sure
have a winning record against the Red Sox this year, although six of those nine games have been played at Yankee Stadium, so we'll see what that record looks like once the Red Sox get a turn to play at home. That would be nice. But I think it's just going to be a great series. They match up so evenly with each other. Obviously, the Yankees have an edge in the bullpen, but the lineups are explosive. The pitching matchups will be phenomenal. I think it'll just be a great series. Regardless of what the record is during the regular season, once you get Red Sox-Yankees in a postseason series, you're going to get fireworks, you're going to get theatrics, you're going to get drama. So I don't think it wouldn't be of course there would be a massive disappointment if you don't beat the Yankees, but let's not pretend like the Yankees are some big underdog. These are two heavyweights. It wouldn't shock anyone if Boston and New York go into a series and whoever comes out on top is clearly the better team.
No, and that's why I make it clear, because the Yankees were in the seventh game of the ALCS last year. There are huge expectations for this team.
But that was also an overachievement. I mean, they shouldn't have gotten past the Indians last year. Corey Kluber was hurt. If Corey Kluber's healthy, the Yankees probably don't make it out of the first round.
Beat him. Who cares? I mean, you're right.
Well,
Kluber was hurt, but they still came
Cy Young
back
Award
on him.
Winner. He's hurt and he's not at his best. Brian Cashman himself said we won because Corey Kluber was hurt. We beat a hurt Corey Kluber.
I'm not saying that wasn't the case. I'm saying it doesn't matter. They still beat him. You know, teams overachieve
all the time
in October.
Yeah, you look back at you know the records and it says the Yankees went to the ALCS. But I still think that if the Yankees lost to the Indians in the division series last year, no one is looking at the Yankee season as a disappointment. They kind of came out of nowhere.
I agree.
And they earned their spot, but they were early. They weren't supposed to.
But it still raises that bar high, you know, because they still came into this season with huge expectations. And, and the truth is they've hit them, because if they win 105 games but don't win the division, I mean, it's tough to kill them. I mean, they win 105 games.
Yeah, but I also, you know, last summer you kept hearing, oh, the Yankees are rebuilding, the Yankees are rebuilding, and they kept using that as a crutch to say, well, if we don't win, it's okay because we're just rebuilding. But then they make it to the seventh game of the ALCS, and they're like, oh, we had a better season than the Red Sox. So you have to pick a side. You can't be you can't fall back on we're rebuilding if you lose, which they kind of did. But this year, there's no rebuilding.
No.
It's the Red Sox. It's the Yankees. They're at their best. They have their cores established. They've supplemented these cores with superstar talent. So this is the year. Like, this is the year where they're going to go head-to-head, and we'll see whose quote-unquote rebuild was better.
Yeah. I mean, both teams, it's all in all likelihood, both teams are going to win 100 games, and that's never happened in the history of this Yankee-Red Sox rivalry, which is crazy. Real quick, how many wins do the Red Sox end up with in your mind?
I'm going to say 109. I'm going to say 109 is what they finish at.
109. All right, man, Jared. I appreciate it. Jared Karabas.
Karabas.
Now, I appreciate it, man. You did a great job. I thank you for coming on, pal.
Anytime. Happy to do it. We'll talk to you maybe after this weekend.
Here. We shall see. Jared Karabas of Barstool. Now I have a mental block against the dude's name. Yeah, because when I follow him on Twitter, I just think his name is Karabas or whatever I thought it was. Now, he does a good job. I know he ticks a lot of Yankee fans off on Twitter. I understand that. Ernie was telling me that there's some Yankee fans not happy about putting him on. But what I find interesting is just getting to the head of the Red Sox fan and Red Sox Nation right now. Because this race is about them in many ways. I mean, the Yankees are having, despite any flaw you want to get on, and any criticism you have about this team, and, oh, they've been mediocre lately, and they haven't beaten up the Orioles or the Royals. All facts. They're 67-37. They're on pace to win 105 games. Those are the facts. And the reason why there's been angst about this season and they're looking up at the division has to do with the Red Sox. It has nothing to do with the Yankees. They've played well against the Red Sox. So they are a fascinating story at 75-33.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.